Now it's a joy on my part to be with you again this evening, and it's good to see everyone who's gathered in tonight to hear the word of the Lord. And I thank Mr. Martin for his words of welcome again, and I sincerely thank our brother David for singing and ministering in song, and what a blessing those songs were. It's nice in one sense to see Pastor Jackie Hughes in the meeting as well, and in another sense it's always a wee bit more intimidating whenever you know there's a preacher in the meeting. I was listening to God's servant in the car. He wasn't in the car with me, but it was a wee pen drive thing. I downloaded some of his messages and was listening to them coming down to the meetings earlier on in the week, and was thoroughly blessed through his ministry. And he related an interesting story about one time that he tried to sing in the meeting, and it was quite amusing. And so whenever he was coming up to the front, all I could think of was this time that he tried to sing, the first time and last. I had an experience a bit like myself many years ago in an open air, thought I could sing and was proved wrong, and I never sang since publicly, at least not intentionally anyway, and there it is. We're in Hebrews tonight, chapter 7, just a short reading from the book of Hebrews. The seventh chapter. And some of these words were alluded to in the opening prayer already in this meeting, but we're reading just from verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24 to the end of the chapter. Hebrews 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. And we know that God will bless this short reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to a little phrase at the beginning of verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 7. For such an high priest became us. Such an high priest, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, became us. Let us unite our hearts together again and earnestly pray that God's Spirit will be poured out upon us now. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee tonight, O God, for the privilege of having this precious book in our own mother tongue. We rejoice tonight that thy word is quick, it's living, it's lively, it's cutting, it's powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And our God and our Father, we pray just now that thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to pour out the Holy Spirit upon this gathering. We ask tonight, Lord, that our very emotions would be charged by God and our understanding would be enlightened, and that, Father God, thou wilt give us desires after thyself. Lord, we pray that the fear of God would descend. We know tonight, O God, that thou art nearer than hands or feet. But, O God, tonight we pray for the realization of that in every heart and life. And, O God, we pray that work will be done by God in this meeting in the hearts of men and women and young people. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that Christ is the answer. And Lord, tonight we pray that people will experience the blessing of knowing him as Savior, as Lord, and as Master. So, Father, now I pray for that cleansing that we heard about just a short while ago. Wash me, Lord. Cleanse my hands and my feet. Purify my mind and my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. Exalt and glorify thy Son, and may the preacher's name in the eyes of men fade away, but may the name of Jesus Christ be exalted as he sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. Hear and answer prayer, we ask it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This great book of Hebrews is full of teaching about the person and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially the verses that we have read together at the end of chapter 7. If you take these words home with you and look at them yourselves in greater detail, you will discover that they have much to teach us about the perfection and the glory of our Savior, the Son of God. Verse number 24 shows us that he is eternal and unchangeable. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And living in days of tremendous change, days that are rapidly advancing towards the last day, the great day of the Lord, days of tremendous change on so many levels of living, it's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Verse 25 tells us that he is able to save to the uttermost anybody who comes to him in simple, childlike faith. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Horatius Bonner, a famous Scottish preacher and hymn writer, many years ago said that man is a complete sinner. And that is true. He also said that Jesus Christ is a complete Savior. And that is true. And then he concluded by saying, Jesus Christ saves complete sinners completely. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that you're saved by God's grace. A wonderful thing it is to know that your sins are forgiven. And you've been saved from the power of sin, and the pollution of sin, and the penalty of sin, and the punishment for sin, and one day saved from the very presence of sin itself. Verse 26, the second part of the verse, shows us the purity and the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Verse 27 shows us the sufficiency of his once-for-all sacrifice upon the cross. It said he died once, or did this once, offered up a sacrifice whenever he offered up himself. Christ died for the ungodly. And if you take anything out of this meeting tonight, understand this truth, that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I want tonight to draw your attention to verse 26, the first part of the verse where it says, such an high priest became us. Now, it is true tonight to say that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, without beginning and without end, almost 2,000 years ago, or just over 2,000 years ago, became a man. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible tells us that he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. And this is the great mystery of the incarnation, that eternal God became a man and lived on this earth amongst men and identified with people like you and with people like me. And that's the great teaching of the New Testament, that God became a man and lived amongst men and died upon a cross. He was a real man Every inch a man. And yet all the while the Bible says he did no sin. He knew no sin. He was without sin. And in him is no sin. But you know, this little text or this little phrase, such an high priest became us, is not so much referring to the fact that the Son of God became a man, but the little phrase became us literally means is made suitable for us. Such an high priest became us. Or we could translate it this way, such an high priest suits us. Such an high priest fits us. Such an high priest becomes us. Back in the olden days before I was born, some of you might remember going to get measured up for a suit. And whenever the tailor got out his tape measure, he put it around your waist. And if he was to do the same tonight, there would be a few inches more than there were all of those years ago. But he measures you up for a suit. And whenever he goes away and makes that suit, it is tailor-made for you. And then whenever you put the suit on, it suits you, it fits you, it becomes you. It is tailor-made for you as an individual. And I believe tonight with all of my heart that Jesus Christ can fit the sinner. There are some things in life that don't fit us at all. There are other things in life that don't fit us right. But Jesus Christ becomes us. He fits us perfectly. And so I just want to speak to you for a little while tonight upon the subject, Christ fits. Do you remember the story of Goldilocks and the three bears? I don't know if it's a good story to teach the children or not. Telling children that it's okay to break into somebody else's house and eat their food and break their furniture and sleep in their beds. But you remember whenever Goldilocks sat in that little chair and the first chair was too hard and then the next chair was too soft and then the third chair was just right. And then she went for the porridge. One was too hot, the other was too cold, and the other was just right. And then she went to lie in the bed and one was too hard and one was too soft and the other was just right. Jesus Christ is just right. He fits us, he suits us, he becomes us. Now I want to say tonight, first of all, some things in life do not fit us at all. Some things in life do not become us at all. You know, I do believe tonight that whenever God created man, and he created man in his own image, that God created each and every one of us with a body and with a soul and with a spirit. Remember in the beginning God said, let us, plural, make man singular in our own image. And while there's one God and three persons, I believe he replicated something of that in man whenever he made us in his own image. And there's one individual, but there's a body and there's a soul and there's a spirit. And so I believe that there are three parts to man. And the body is the tent that you live in. You see me tonight standing behind this pulpit, and what you see isn't really me. It's just the house that I live in. It's the body. And then within the body, there's the soul. And the soul is the seat of the personality, the will and the intellect and the emotions. And then there's also a spiritual part of man. And that's the part of man that's connected to God, or was connected to God, but because of sin has died. And that's why tonight you need to be born again. And without Christ, there's nothing that fits us right. You know, your body tonight was designed by God. The scripture says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knows how your body works. He designed the body, and there are certain things in life that the body was not designed for. People tonight are looking for something in this world and in this society in which we live, something that will satisfy the body, satisfy the eye, satisfy the taste, satisfy the intellect, satisfy the flesh, and they cannot really find it. You know, the body was not designed for drugs. They do not fit us at all. Your body tonight was not designed to be abused with drugs or with alcohol or with gluttony or with sexual immorality. We sometimes think that because our bodies are physical, material, and tangible, that we can satisfy them with physical and material and tangible things. But you don't have to go too far down the road of life to realize and to understand that there are many things in this world that appeal to the flesh, but they do not really satisfy the longing within our hearts. And maybe tonight in this meeting you have tried so many things. Physical relationships. And you've been let down. And you've put substance into your bodies. And you're still not satisfied. Because there are things in life that don't fit at all. You know, we used to have a man that visited our house whenever I was a young lad. And he had done very well in life and used to tell all of these flamboyant stories about where he had come from and what he was doing. And you know, this was an individual sitting as a youngster. I just thought, this man's got it made. If anything in life that this man needs, he can almost get anything he wants. And then sometimes he would turn around to my mother and he'd just ask the question, what's it all about? And that resonated in my young heart. This man has got so much of the world's goods. He's literally lived whatever way he pleased and he's been successful in life. And yet whenever all is said and done, he still doesn't know what life is all about. There are certain things that just don't fit the body. There are certain things that just don't fit the soul. Your soul tonight is the most valuable thing that you have. Whenever you were conceived in your mother's womb, God placed within that little body that was about to be formed a true soul. And that soul is the real you. And Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And so many people tonight live with ignorance to these things. And they don't realize that the soul can be injured as easily as the body. And the soul can be scarred and abused as easily as the body. Your soul is precious. And your soul can so easily be injured and so easily be hurt by what you allow to go in through the eye gate. And what you allow to go in through your ears. And what you allow to get into your heart. And what you set your will and your emotions and your affections upon. There are certain things that the soul was not designed for. And there are certain things that just don't fit the human soul. Illicit relationships. Pornography. Gambling. Abuse and all the rest of it. And there are people in our society tonight and their souls are cast down within them because they followed all of the trends of the world and they've realized that there are things that just don't fit. And then there's the spirit as well. The spirit was created as a spiritual entity within man. I believe tonight that God has put eternity within our hearts. And man has some sort of consciousness of some sort of God at the back of the universe. That's why there's something that theologians used to call the consent of nations. No matter what tribe or people group you could visit or think of, they all have a code of ethics. They all have some type of moral law that dictates what's right and what's wrong. They all have a desire to worship something or someone. They all have some sort of concept of an afterlife. Because God has put eternity within our hearts. And some things just don't fit at all. And maybe tonight that is your experience as you come to this meeting. I've tried everything in life and there's nothing really that seems to fit me. And then there are other things in life that just don't fit right. Sometimes people begin to realize whenever they've drank at the broken cisterns in the waters of field, that they need something else. And all of the material possessions and tangible things in the world can't fill this longing within our hearts. Blaise Pascal once said that God has put inside us a vacuum, or there's a vacuum rather inside of us, and only God can fill it. I had a Sunday school superintendent whenever I was a young lad who went into full-time Christian work, and I remember listening with intrigue to his testimony. He played football for a team in the Irish League. He had a successful business as a tradesman. He was happily married. They had one little boy. And you know what he said? He says, the more we had, the more dissatisfied we became. And the more dissatisfied I became, the more I tried to work to fill this longing and this void that was in my life. And then he said one night in the town of Lisburn, where he grew up, in Mandeville Avenue, just down the road, he says, there was an open-air meeting that came into our street. And it was a beautiful summer's evening, and the window was open, and I was listening to something on television. All of a sudden, I heard somebody speaking through an open-air system. It was a young girl. And I said to my wife, what's going on out in the street? And she says, it's one of those open-air things. And he turned off the television. He says, open the window a bit wider. And this young girl was giving her testimony. And she just related the most simple of stories of whenever she was a little girl, there was something that for months she especially wanted for Christmas. And then whenever she got it and she played with it for a few hours, she realized it's not going to satisfy me. And this was a young man in his late 20s, early 30s, and he just thought to himself, isn't that just like me? Everything I try, it just doesn't satisfy. It just doesn't fit. And as he listened on, he went round the corner of the house and he said, I stood there and I wrung my hands and I knew that God was speaking to me. And he says, I went up to my room, I got down beside my bed, and he says, I just literally wept my way into the kingdom of God. And I crawled into bed, and the next thing I knew was I had woken up, and the thing that struck me was it was the first night's sleep I had had for years. He says, I sent my wife down into the town to buy a Bible, and within 6 months, I had read the Bible from cover to cover, and he had found something that the world could never give. And it all started whenever he realized that something was missing in his life. And there are some things that don't fit at all, and there are other things that just don't seem to fit right. And maybe that's where you're at tonight. You're searching for God. You're saying your prayers. You're trying to connect with your Creator, but still something just doesn't seem to fit right. Whenever I was a teenager in high school, Dr. Martin's shoes were all the rage. A little while ago, I decided I wouldn't mind trying another pair again, so I bought a pair of black DM shoes. You know the ones with the yellow stitching around the edges? Not as cool as I once thought they were. But I wore them one day from my house down to the hospital, which is about half a mile's walk. And by the time I came back, I discovered, well, it didn't take even all that long to discover, they just don't fit right. And by the time I got back, my feet were bleeding and my feet were sore. And you've maybe tried certain things. And while there may be legitimate things, things that are right and things that are decent and things that are proper, they still don't fit right. And you've maybe tried religion, and you've maybe tried church. I'll start attending church. I'll start reading my Bible. I'll start saying my prayers. And my, those are good things to do, but still, it just doesn't seem to fit right. There's still something else that you're missing out on. And then there are others that try religion. Whether it's Protestantism or Catholicism or some New Age religion or some secret society, still this sense, with all of the rituals, with all of the rites and all of the routines, something still just isn't fitting right. Something's missing. I thank God for the upbringing that I have and the upbringing that I had. I thank God for the parents and the grandparents and the family members that I had and for the Christian influence in my life from my earliest days, but in spite of it all, I came to realize there's still something missing. Something just doesn't seem to be fitting right. And then there are others that get embroiled in good works and charity, and that's good and that's right and that's proper, but they soon discover that they can't work their way to heaven. And the more they work and the more they labor, the more guilt there is and the more sense there is that still something is missing and there must be something else. And then there are others that embrace the occult and cults and New Age religions. Years ago, there was a knock at her door. As I was a teenager, I was in the house of my own. A man came to the door with the Bible. I took everything at face value. He came into the house, took him into the dining room. He sat down at the table. He opened the Bible. He began to read. He began to talk to me about the things of God. And even at that young and tender age, I began to realize this just doesn't fit right. Something here is missing. Something here just doesn't seem to bear witness with my heart. And I learned shortly that he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he began to say things like, there's no such place as hell. And nobody other than 144,000 will be going to heaven. And he began to deny so many of the doctrines of grace. And I just began to realize this doesn't fit right. And maybe you've tried different religions and different things and different spiritual experiences, but still something is missing in your life. We had a young man not that long ago, a couple of years ago, brother in the Lord, in her church, spoke to me and says, there's a young man that we were having a mission at the time. He says he lives at the end of the street. He's 30 years of age. He's very ill with cancer. He's not saved. He's married to a Roman Catholic girl. So we hooked up with the family and got to speak to his wife, and he was ill one day. And then she rang me back and she says, you know, I didn't know who you were whenever you called at the door, but can you please come back? I'm so glad you called because I'm concerned about my husband's spiritual well-being. Now, she was a Roman Catholic and he was a Protestant. And as we got to know each other and built up a relationship, every time he was not home, I would have shared the Word of God with him. And he began to really open up and talk about these things and told me that for several years before even having this illness, he'd been thinking about spiritual things. And then one day in the cancer unit in Antrim Hospital, whenever he was very ill, we got talking again. And I said, now, Terence, what's your hope for heaven? He says, well, I've been trying to pray a lot more. I've been trying to read the Bible that you gave me. And I've been trying not to use any bad language. And I've been all of these different things. And I says, well, Terence, that's all good. But with all due respect, it's not enough. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. And as we shared the gospel, he began to understand this. And just there in that hospital ward, he trusted in the Lord. And he found that Christ fits. But you know, the amazing thing, after he passed away, there were some of his family members that I went to visit. And the things that they were saying, we've been going to fortune tellers to try to find out where he is and what's going on and all of these other things. But it just didn't seem to fit. Some things don't fit at all. Some things don't fit right. But Christ fits perfectly. Such an high priest becomes us. He fits us hand in glove. God has put us all in this earth for a purpose. To live one life, long or short, we are not sure. And he has put us on this earth to glorify our God. And as Augustine said, our souls will always be restless until they find rest in you. And maybe you're tonight looking for something and longing for something. If you look and long, you will never find that missing link outside of Jesus Christ. There used to be a fella in the town, and he was quite a character. And he was single, he wasn't married. As far as I know, he didn't work either. But one night, many years ago, first car I owned was a Mini, and I remember driving it in County Down, just down the Hill Hall Road, and I saw this man, and he was pushing a very large Silver Cross pram down the street and looking into it with great affection. And I nearly wrote the car off to see what was going on. I thought, can it be that this man has got a child in there? And then he stopped the pram and he reached in, and I was slowing down to see what he's going to lift out. And he lifted out the Lisburn Echo. Do you remember the little newspaper, the Lisburn Echo? And he was using this pram filled with newspapers to deliver the Lisburn Echo. And I thought, isn't that strange? That pram was designed to support and to nurture life. It wasn't designed to be filled with newspapers. They just don't fit it right. And your life, your body, your soul, your spirit were designed by God for fellowship with God. Designed to harbor the life of God within you. And you will always be empty, always looking for the next thing until you find Jesus Christ. A young lad went to a pawn shop with a couple of dollars in his pocket. And the only thing that he could afford in the pawn shop was a trombone case. Now, he had never heard of or seen a trombone before in his life, but he just liked the look of this case. And it was the only thing that he could afford. And for the sake of buying something, he came home with a trombone case and thought, well, I'll be able to put my clothes in it. And so he got his little trainers and he bent them into a circle and he stuffed them up at the top part where the horn should be. And then he got his trousers and he rolled them into a snake and his t-shirts and he put them in where the long bow should be and he stuffed it all in and he began to realize it's not designed for this. And then he decided to use it as a toy box. But they just rattled about inside. And then he thought I could use it to keep my fishing rod and my tackle in, but the hooks just plucked and tore the velvet in the inside. And he was all discouraged and disillusioned about what he bought until the next week, whenever he walked past the pawn shop, he saw a trombone hanging in the window. And he looked at the shape of it. He ran home and he brought the case back and he asked for his money back. And whenever he got his money back, the man in the shop lifted the trombone and he put it inside the case and it fitted perfectly. And he realized it was designed for something. And the trombone fits it perfectly. And whenever you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ, you realize that he fits me perfectly. You and I were designed for something, fellowship with God, something that Adam enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. Sin destroyed that and ruined that and brought separation. And the spiritual part of humanity died. That's why the Bible says we are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's why the scripture says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And that furthermore is why Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. That spiritual part of you that is dead needs to be born again with life from above, for you to enter into a fellowship life and a relationship with God. And that life can only be found in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in him was life, and his life was the light of man. I said to you reverently, life without Christ is not life at all. It's an existence. You might have a heartbeat, you might have a pulse, you might have blood coursing through your veins, but if you do not have Christ in your life, you do not know what life itself is all about. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus realized it's Christ that fits. He had tried so many other things, and even with all his religion, it just didn't fit right. And then whenever he met Christ, he could say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Can you say that tonight? Can you say, I have got the life of God within my soul? Can you say, I know whom I have believed? Are you walking with God tonight? Are you in fellowship with your Creator? I want to tell you tonight that in this very meeting, Jesus Christ can set you free. Jesus Christ can save you tonight. He can make you into a new creature. He can give you a new beginning. He can give you a cause worth living for. And it's the most wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ is real in your life and in your experience. About 20 years ago, I got to know, again, a man in this town, a little man, a registered dwarf by the name of Eddie McCracken. Some of you might know him. And I can remember the first night that I met this individual. It was one night in Bow Street on a Thursday evening, and he was riding a BMX bicycle, sitting in the frame and holding up the handlebars, and he flew past us. And then the next week, he came back and we got talking. And he began to tell me how he became a Christian. And he said that in his home, his parents had prayer meetings in the home. And he was brought up to know the gospel. But because of his physical stature, he got a lot of abuse. And people used to laugh at him and make fun of him. And that just broke his wee heart. And so he turned as a young man to alcohol and just became an alcoholic. And he lived in a little, he still does, in a little house out there near Blairis. And he says the blinds were always pulled, the door was always closed, because I did not want to see people to see the type of life that I was living. But then he said a Christian man who had been an alcoholic himself began to visit my home and share the gospel with me. And one night I went to a gospel meeting and I came home and I began to think about all the things I had known as a child and where I was living. And just there in his little house, he was wonderfully converted. And the first thing that happened was all the cupboards were opened and the drink was poured down the sink. And then he says the next morning, I lifted the phone and I rang a painter and decorator and they came out to my house. And they stripped and gutted the place and they freshened it up. And he says, now, as long as the weather permits, the windows are open, the front doors open, because I want people to see the difference that Jesus Christ has made in my life and in my house. Now, I hadn't seen that man for many years. That's almost 20 years ago. But just at the start of this year, Bow Street Mall, I seen a man walking up with a little stick. And I realized, there he is. And I called out his name, and my, what a wonderful time he had talking, still in fellowship with God. I tell you tonight, Christ fits. Such an high priest becomes us. And maybe tonight you realize something's missing. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is not something you try. Jesus Christ is someone you trust. And this verse says, such an high priest becomes us. Now that's one of the greatest mysteries of all, because we're told here in Hebrews chapter 7 that he is holy and I am unholy. He is undefiled and I am defiled. He's separate from sinners and I am a sinner. He is higher than the heavens and my heart is deeper and blacker than hell itself. And yet somehow in the mystery of the gospel, he can fit us. And he can become us, and he can suit us. Why? Because the scripture says here that he is a high priest. You say tonight, well, what does that mean? Well, the priest in the Bible had specifically two roles to play before God on behalf of the people. The first thing he did was offer sacrifice, blood sacrifice for sin. And then having done that, he went into the presence of God and he prayed for the people that that sacrifice represented. So he offered a sacrifice and he made intercession. And the scripture says that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And outside a city wall in Jerusalem, he offered up his life as a sacrifice to God Almighty for sin. And he was nailed to a cross, having been stripped of all of his garments, naked, hanging upon a cross. The Bible says, beaten beyond recognition, his visage so marred, more than that of any man, crowned with thorns. And then there was hours of darkness upon that cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And all of my guilt, and all of my shame, and all of my iniquity, and all of the anger and wrath and justice of a holy God was poured out upon the Son of God at that moment upon the cross during those hours of darkness. And he took my hell, he took my punishment for me, and he offered up a sacrifice that is sufficient to blot out a multitude of transgressions. And then having done that, the scripture says he entered into the holy place, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Did you know tonight that outside of time and God's great eternity, Jesus Christ reigns and rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's praying tonight in glory for sinners right across this world. And that's why the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come on to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save to the uttermost. Man is a complete sinner. Christ, a complete Savior. Jesus Christ saves complete sinners completely. But did you notice that little word in verse 25? The word come. He can only save those who come. And the great tragedy is that even as he was on this earth, as he looked over the religious establishment of his day, he lamented within his heart, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. What an awful thing to live in this world without God, without Christ, without hope, and then to go out to meet God, realizing you missed it all, the great purpose of life. Some things just don't fit at all. Other things don't fit right, but Jesus Christ fits perfectly. God bless his word to every heart.